Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list, like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew. Which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Coca-Cola. For the big. For the small. The short. And the tall. Peacemakers. Risk takers. For the optimists. Pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola. For everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
My job is just to play ball and ball. That's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. We got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
My job is just to play ball. And that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers plus minus on a bye week edition with my co-host. It's Matt Barrows from The Athletic. I got a little bit of news. They're off. They're not going to reassemble. Are they reassembling for Monday or are they reassembling for not until Wednesday?
Oh, Monday. I think they're going to have the bonus practice.
Big bonus practice.
You can't do a bye without a bonus practice.
They need to see you guys that extra time, right? You know, you need to see Matt Barrows' smiling face and Mayoko and Jennifer Lee Chan and Eric Branch and everybody. Let's go a little bit of the news. Shanahan spoke on Monday. I was guessing he might not, but he did. It's good because kind of needed to hear what the coach is going to say. I'm sure most of the theme is, okay, which of these injured guys are likely to at least start practicing next week after the bye? Who's likely to play when the 49ers play again, which is Sunday, a week from Sunday at home against the Titans? One thing that's just dawned on me, three of the four remaining games are at home. That's just a nice little run here. I was like, they've already played 8 road games. That's a lot of road games to play before your bye. Just that is a lot. 3 remaining home games, 1 very easy one, theoretically, against the Titans. Then 2 tougher ones, you have the Bears and the Seahawks, and then with a road game in Indianapolis. Barrows, who's coming back?
Well, there are 4 guys who might come back, and I'll list them in most likely to least likely or most likely to biggest question mark. And most likely it sounds like Eddie Pinheiro is coming back from his grade one hamstring strain. Will be interesting to see whether they keep Matt Gay on the practice squad just in case there's something. You know, Matt Gay stepped up in a big way.
Yeah.
A very tough game in Cleveland on Sunday, and he made all of his kicks. One of them was
very close.
With Shanahan insisting that the goalposts were shaking and that the wind moved the ball even at that short distance into the goalposts, and maybe he's right. So Eddie Pinheiro should be back. They're very optimistic about Yetur Gross-Matos at least practicing, opening up his practice window. That would be a big deal. They are so sky high on Yetur Gross-Matos, one of the highest paid players on this roster. And the 49ers have gotten very little from him this season. But they love him. They like his versatility. They think that they'll help in all aspects. Remains to be seen, but he's a possibility for this quartet of games to end the season. The guys who are more iffy are the two high ankle sprain guys, and that's Tatum Bethune and Sam Okwuonu. And Bethune's ankle, I guess, was pretty bad because he's still sort of a question mark, despite the fact that the injury happened several weeks ago now. That's a big deal. We've talked about stopping the run and how important that's going to be, especially with that duo of games, Bears and Titans, coming up. And so it would be good to have Tatum Bethune back for that. And not just back, but having been back maybe for a game. You know, we're seeing all these guys who are out for injuries, you know, even George Kittle, not do much in the first two games that they're back. It takes a while for an NFL player to get back into the swing of things, and I imagine that's true for a middle linebacker. So those are the ones. The big one is Brandon Ayuk, and that's still a big question mark. The ball seems to be in Brandon Ayuk's court, you know, communicating with Brandon Ayuk is not the easiest thing in the world. I will say, though, he's, you know, he's hard to figure out. And one of the things might be that, you know, he kind of wants to prove himself and does want to come back. And he changes his mind and decides that, open my window because I want to play out the season and possibly play in the playoffs. So all things are on the table all the time with Brandon Ayuk.
Theoretically, they're on the table. I highly 3-week window to practice, major injury. We know all multiple ligaments affected. 4 games left, Barrow. So,
four games left. Probably more than 4 games left.
They're going to plop him into the playoffs. They're going to plop Brandon Ayuk into the playoffs.
You wouldn't take Brandon Ayuk if you had that option.
If he's been blowing off rehab sessions and you've taken money away from him. I don't know. I might dangle it as a possibility to make the other team worry about it. I would not have him on the roster. No, I think you're punishing someone else who's earned that spot by playing this season, by showing up on practice. God, I'm coming off more hardcore than I thought I was going to. But no,
are you really going to take Marcus Robinson off the field? Wow,
you would not. I would not take someone off the playoff roster who has played for me this season, as opposed to somebody who decided that he did not want to show up for meetings on time or whatever it was. I wouldn't do that. That's just me. I just don't think he would be a huge help. Yeah, I'd do anything, but I just don't think he will be. He's coming back from this injury.
And he wasn't the early part of last season. Yeah.
And it's just not the right mood. I don't think it would strike. Doesn't feel like a 49ers thing. I will point out in a minor thing. I always know the 49ers like to get to a Warriors game on the bye week. And the receivers all got out there. It was Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, and Kendrick Bourne. And who was not on that list of who went out with them? It was Brandon Ayuk.
Jacob Cowing, apparently.
Jacob Cowing, yeah, wow. he's not part of this. And why would you force him to be a part of it if he's also not healthy. So let's see. I mean, you know, open possibility, but I would not expect him. If he hasn't come back for the season, I would not expect him to go, hey, Brandon, you're our guy for the play. I just don't see why you would really want to do that. You know, and they have Jordan Watkins, whatever. They have other guys. It's not like these are great players, but I would just say guys who've been working for me all season are the ones I would want to go into playoffs with. Your two gross models, always the good one. That's the guy that it was hurt going into the season, and they kept him on the active roster. He does play. Gets hurt again. It's like that's the guy that they just are perpetually, you know, optimistic about, and one of the guys. And you know what? It's football. Guys get hurt.
He's their Jason Verrett of modern era.
Yes, I can understand it more with a defensive lineman because you have other guys who can play that spot. And sometimes, like, if you miss a guy, you can plug it. Like, you can't plug in a cornerback. Right? Cornerback, you've only got a few guys there, and they're really important. And then basing everything on Jason Verrett after all those injuries was amazing a few years back. We'll have to bring it up. Who asked Shanahan about the coin toss taking the ball on the conference call? I'm going to thank that person.
I think it was Matt Maiocco. Yeah.
I mean,
it was the first question too. Yeah,
I mean, fired it out of there.
And it wasn't Tim Kawakami related. It was wind related. So I know that you're probably terrible, deflated by that.
It still probably was me related. He's the one admitted. Let's just be frank about this. No, it was wind related. I get it. You get to make sure that you've got the wind in the fourth quarter. If you need it, throw a big pass and need to make a big field goal. Although they made the biggest pass, the biggest
right
of the game was Purdy at the end of the first half into the wind. Two of them, you know, one of them shorter to Pearsall for the first down that enabled him to keep the drive going. And then the other one, 33 yards downfield to Kittle, obviously a huge play. I thought was the play of the game. But he probably, hey, listen, I think he's thinking about it. I do think he's thinking about it. I don't know that he will do it. I think he's thinking to do it then. You don't have to do it then. You could still say, you know what, with a win, let's get on defense and let's show it, let's establish it. And kind of the biggest play of the game was the first one. They get that 22-yard pass to Juszczyk, so it allows them to flip the field. Like, if they go three and out and punt it and the other team's at the 40, that might not be so good. So
yeah.
Maybe that was – I told somebody who was texting me about it at the time. I was like, you know what, that play was pretty big, at least to get down the field, punt it, and not be in a vulnerable position because you took the ball. All right, because this is a bye week conversation, let's kind of look at some broader pictures. Let's maybe take advantage of this so late. This is essentially when they start thinking about Pro Bowl, right? Pro Bowl voting happens pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, they're lobbying right now.
Yeah, we're in that season without having gotten a bye week. So let's take this time. These are not the official awards by me and Barrows. We know everyone's waiting for these gleaming trophies that we'll be handing out at the end. These are not the 49ers official awards, but I just thought, let's talk about it. Let's, like, who are the 49ers kind of award winners, the headliners, and maybe some least valuable players too. Barrows, who's your 49er MVP so far through this season?
I mean, it's such a...
Other than Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey would be the guy.
Obvious that it's Christian McCaffrey, but the question would be, who would be the next guy? And the 49ers do have two MVP awards. They have the Len Eshmont Award, which is voted on by the players, and they have the Bill Walsh Award, which is voted on by the coaching staff. But they're both essentially most valuable player. So let's just, the more prestigious of the two is the Len Eshmont. Let's just say that goes to Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Question would be, okay, who gets the Bill Walsh Award? And I don't really, there's no great answer. I mean, to me, it has to be somebody who's been there. George Kittle is, one of the top guys in the locker room, one of the top tight ends in the league, et cetera, et cetera. But he also missed a lot of games. So if that's part of your criteria, it's hard to vote for that. But the guys who have been there, every week, 13 game starters so far, D. Winters, Trent Williams, and D'Amador Lenore would kind of stand out to me. And everybody was, watching that Myles Garrett sack on Sunday and thinking, oh, wow, he just abused, one of the great tackles of the last 10 years. I actually thought Trent Williams had a pretty good game. Trent Williams has played every game at his age. He usually is injured by this point in the season. I might pick him as the, as the MVP.
Great pick. Did you see the post-game video when Shanahan's gave him the speech at the end of it, that hug that Trent gives him? It was like, oh, my God, we're through this. And I understand it because I've talked to him about going up again, you know, just going up against Bosa in practice. Like, it's a thing. Like, it's an emotional thing to have to go through that because you don't want to get embarrassed by these guys. And they will embarrass anybody. So that's a great pick, Trent Williams. I'm going to go with D Winners just because – not because he's been fantastic. He's been fantastic in a few games. Some games he's just been just a guy they can count on.
Yeah.
And you know, when you've got no Fred Warner and you've got no Nick Bosa and then you got no Mykal Williams and things are happening and you were terrible against a run last year, just to be able to count on the 53 is going to be fine in the ball. Like, the ball's going to become, and then there's going to be 53. Not always going to make a wipeout tackle, but he's going to be there. He's going to be a presence. Just like, who's been the constant for that defense? Maybe Lenore. I have no problem saying Lenore. I think he's been fine. He's gotten picks, which is huge for this team. I just think that Winters has been, like, you notice when he's on the field. There aren't a lot of guys they have where you're just, like, constantly aware of their presence out there. I think he's really been important to the team. If they didn't have him, well, we're seeing a little bit. Like, I almost said Tatum Bethune, just because there wasn't that massive drop off when Fred went out. And then when Bethune goes out, there was a massive drop off. So
right.
you could feel that. And maybe, I guess I also had most inspirational down here as a category. You might've forgot that. So, I have some other guys from most inspirational, I think. I'll say D Winners as my MVP, Bill Walsh Award, my most inspirational. I think Eddie Pinheiro has been so huge inspirationally for this team, not just because of his personality. And we know he's a very combative, loud, fiery guy, which I think they love from a kicker, but just because the mental, you know, weight of the Jake Moody thing from all last year through all this camp, you know, I believe they sort of mishandled that. They should have just done it and gone to Pinheiro or whoever before camp. They just stuck with the Moody, the supposed competition. Then it's over. And then Moody is terrible in the Seattle game and they go to Pinheiro. And the fact that he just automatic bam, 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 hitting game winners, someone that they believe in, has meant a lot to them. Mostly because Moody was such a problem, but also because Pinero's been so good. So I'll say he's most inspirational.
Most inspirational, and I forget all the categories, so I hope I'm not robbing my answer for another one. But I thought, Dominic Pooney, he's going to be another one of these guys on locker room cleanout day when we finally kind of learn about, okay, what exactly did he have to go through this season? And I think in the first six games, first seven games, he was dealing with a pretty significant knee injury that probably kept getting re-injured, but you exacerbate it a little bit. And I think in the last, I don't know, say month or so, he started to pull out of that. And when he has, you've seen him just play better. And I think the running game has been better. Just the fact that he's second year player, he's super young, but was able to do this sort of veteran thing, which is play through the injury and not complain about it.
Yep.
And just keep showing up at a time when the rest of the team was just kind of falling apart around him. I think that deserves notice. And the 49ers do have a offensive lineman award, the Bob McKittrick Award. I think that he's probably a good candidate for that one.
You are so offensive line coded today, Barrows. I love it. These are great picks.
I grew up watching the Hogs. I appreciate a good O-line.
And the O-line's been fine. You know, not been great, but been fine. I want to throw Kyle Juszczyk just as a mention in there. Is he slowing down? They cut him. They literally cut him in the offseason. He could have gone somewhere else, took a pay cut to come back. I think he's been really good. Talk about the 22-yard pass to open the last game. I think he's like moving great. He's the lead blocker. So many times he goes in motion and spins back, and he's the lead blocker. Not so good at the short yardage quarterback stuff, but that I forgive him on that because I don't know many fullbacks or tight ends who are. He's just as good as ever, and that's really good for them. Obviously, it's very important for them. I just want to throw Juszczyk in there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. At least valuable player. We don't want to get too controversial with this. I don't know that there's many choices for this. This has been a very, you know, together team. But who's your choice for LVP for San Francisco?
We can't pick Devondre Campbell for this one.
Yeah, you get the memories of Devondre Campbell. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm going to say,
I mean,
there's one guy who's certainly been, you know, I mean.
We've talked about him quite a bit, and we don't really know the details of it, but, you know, if you're being paid a lot of money to rehab with a team and you're not doing it, and you're not taking part in activities, that's the antithesis of being part of the team. And that's what this game is all about. So, yeah, it's got to be Brandon Ayuk. Again, we don't know everything that's going on with him. So it's hard to come out strongly and condemn something. The 49ers and Ayuk are being very, very, very tight-lipped about this. So there may be some things that we don't know. It's not a great look. I can't think of anybody else, though. I mean, you can't get mad at people for getting injured. And that's been, you know, the thing that's damaged this team the most this year.
Yeah, we don't get mad at people. We just criticize them. So, yeah, Brandon, I mean, the fact was that he signed that deal not very long ago either. It's not like he's at the end of a deal. He's underpaid. The 49ers have screwed him. They paid him. Like, they paid him huge. That's the weirdest part of this, that, you know, it was the deal itself that ruined the relationship. Usually the deal makes you feel good because you get the money. So either, well, things went wrong. 49ers have taken his money away next season. Again, likeliest thing is he will not play for the 49ers next season. Will be gone in March, may not play for them ever again, even this season. And maybe they screwed it up too. Like, certainly possible that there were communication breakdowns there. But that is by far, given the money he's making, not as much as he used to be making, though, given that he's lost those money next season, is the least valuable player for the 49ers. I think they would agree with that. I will also mention, not their fault, but Jordan James and Jordan Watkins, the players,
the Jordans,
who are the rookies, decently drafted players.
Yeah, fourth rounders.
Fine, yeah, looked fine in training camp, got dinged up, and have been on the active roster or on and off the active roster and not played, you know, hardly at all, mostly healthy scratches. It's just like, what happened there? I don't know. And that's not their fault, I don't think. It's just, I'm not sure what happened with this roster with all these injuries, and yet those two guys are on it and they're counting and they have to be scratched every week. It's just bizarre. It's a bizarre part of this season, and I just kind of want to raise it.
One other one that sort of came to mind, they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling mm-hmm. at the beginning of the season, and he had just opportunity to do something on this team. He had played in this system before. He had speed. The 49ers were looking for a speed wide receiver. And so the contrast with of what he was able to do versus what Kendrick Bourne was able to do is stark. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling no longer with the team. Kendrick Bourne is still getting 20 snaps a game. So I thought that deserves to be underscored as well.
All right. This might bleed into my biggest surprise of the year. Mine's winning 5 games with Mac Jones, and I give him full credit for it. I wrote today that he is not as good as Brock Purdy. I'm just like, it's silly to have this discussion, but 5 wins with your backup quarterback is really valuable. That's precious. 5-3 without your starting quarterback who you paid $53 million a year to just recently. And I think Kendrick Bourne was a huge part of that. As you always say, they were like tied together, those two guys. Big numbers for Kendrick Bourne with Mac Jones playing, and now he's barely thrown to at all by Brock Purdy. That's okay if you're winning. But I am surprised. And that's in addition, they didn't have Bosa for most of those games. They didn't have Warner for some of those games. Looked bad in a few. That's what happens. It might have looked bad with anybody at Houston. A lot of people look bad at the Houston Texans. But those 5 wins are going to be remembered whatever happens this season. They essentially are getting them into the playoffs. Brock Purdy, if he stays healthy, will be the guy in the playoffs and deserves to be. But it's not just Jones. It's freaking Kyle Shanahan calling great games. The Rams game down there on that Thursday night was amazing. It's Kendrick Bourne making those plays. It's Christian McCaffrey, who we know is the MVP, just exceeding, showing what his value is. But I'm going to pinpoint it on Mac Jones, because normally when the backup quarterback and the 49ers backup quarterback hasn't been lousy at various times in the Shanahan era. That's one of the reasons that Garoppolo they got so tired of him, is he got hurt so much and their backup stunk. Like, they just didn't have it set up right. Well, when you got Brock Purdy, who you're super confident in, and you've got Mac Jones, who they may not have at the end of this, after the season, we can talk about that too. Because they might trade him, you've given yourself a bonus that other teams don't have. And I give the full team the credit for that surprise to me.
It's amazing how many little known players have stepped up, at key points for this team and done so over, several weeks. Jake Tondras at the beginning of the season.
I was going to say Tondras. He's got 4 touchdowns, Barrows.
I know. He remember back in week 1, he won the game for the 49ers, which is going to, end up being absolutely gargantuan down the home stretch. Chase Lucas has made big plays for this team. You mentioned Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is probably the best answer. Two guys who totally underappreciated, and to me, one of them stands out more than the other, but it's your starting defensive tackles, mm-hmm. Jordan Elliott and Kalia Davis. I mean, Kalia Davis, he began his career with the 49ers with a knee injury, so he basically got a red shirt season. 49ers didn't expect him to play that first year. And then it never really kind of got better in year 2. And, you just didn't know what to expect from him going into the season. He's been, I believe, a 13-game starter and played through a broken hand as well. He's not the second coming of Justin Smith. He's not Javon Hargrave. But you see him, and you see him all over the field. He's a hustle guy. He makes plays down the field. So I think that he's been a very pleasant surprise for this team. I believe he's an unrestricted free agent, but he would be a guy, if I'm the 49ers, he's still young. He's still, on the upswing. He'd be a guy I would try to bring back and be part of this kind of young core that's moving forward.
He makes plays. Like, I've noticed, like, particularly early in the game, you see him making plays. Maybe that's just the way it works for defensive tackles, but you do see him getting across the line of scrimmage sometimes, and that's there are defensive tackles you do not see that for entire games, and credit to him for that. I'm going to throw out Sky Moore in this.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of like a whatever. They traded what for this guy? He's going to return what? They got Jacob Cowing to return kicks. What do they need anybody? And after a slow start, the guy's been incredible and has changed games just for the last one. And looks like he can keep doing it. And you just hear it from his teammates. They're like, we're just waiting for him to break it. They didn't necessarily say that last season or the season before, or the season before, or the season before. And I don't know how they just figured out this guy when they have not been able to figure out a punt returner and a kick returner in the past. Maybe that's Brant Boyer. I don't know. But Sky Moore has been an impact guy, and I did not expect that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rank and file of that special teams unit in conjunction with better coaching is part of that. I mean, those guys think that Luke Gifford could make the Pro Bowl as a special teamer. And it's not anything that we're noticing, because I don't think that we're trained to kind of appreciate the nuances of it. But he's been good. Saron Neal has been good. Nick Martin has been good in recent games. Chase Lucas is on those units. Luke Farrell, the tight end, is on those units. So that group has really sort of congealed, and you can just see the pride that they're taking too. Like, that's been the missing element. Like, there was no kind of sense that this is an important piece of the team, that we can be something special. You just see that from them this year. They congratulate each other after, big tackles and things like that. It has a good vibe. It's got an energetic vibe like it did back in 2011 with the Blake Costanzo. I'm trying to remember the other
guy.
Michael Wilhite. But there was a guy who became a coach. I can't remember his name. Those were guys who had personality and were distinct, and together they gave that unit a flavor, and it's been flavorless in the last 10 years, and it's starting to get a little spice back.
I give Shanahan credit for, I got on him a little bit last year, and he gave it right back to me, like, he doesn't care about special teams. It's clear that I haven't seen it. You can't tell me what exactly he's done, but it's clear that he's put more focus on special teams. You can just tell in the way they play, and you can tell in the details, and you can tell some of the players, Saron Neal, whatever, these guys signed almost specifically for special teams. They've done it in the past, but they hit it with these guys. So I'll give Kyle Shanahan full credit for that too. How about game of the year, Barros? What's your game of the year?
Week 5. Goal line punch out by Mr. Yeah. Alfred Collins, who, at that point wasn't anybody that we're really kind of appreciating. They had no business winning that game. They should not have won the game. I would go over the marquee names that didn't play in that game, but it would take too long.
Everybody.
Just about everybody. So it was a really gutsy performance. A really well coached game and some big plays at the end. I mean, it was the Alfred Collins punch out and then a fourth down stuff. And there were about 6 guys in on that tackle. So it was impressive.
I completely agree with you on both things. I don't want to duplicate you, but that is the game that kind of made the season what it is. That one and the Seahawks game, I think those two, but the Rams game when everyone's hurt with your backup quarterback, no Kittle, no Bosa, go down, no Pearsall, and gutting that out. That was a hell of a Shanahan game. 100% hell of a Shanahan game. Hell of a solid game.
Was that a Pinheiro game? Is that where he had his...
Well, the first game winner was in Arizona, but I think he hit 250s, maybe.
Yeah, there were some long ones.
I'll go just this last week, you know, recency bias. Just winning that game in that condition, gutting it out.
Beating those Cleveland Browns. Being that tough, fantastic Browns team.
But I'll do the twofer also. That read option, Purdy running to his left was a thing of beauty. Like, that was like a perfectly run play. Miles Garrett wasn't over there. Garrett was on the other side of that play, but faked the defensive end, pull it back in, and just looked great. And knowing, you know, he's got a toe injury, so is he going to look great doing it? He looked fantastic. He looked like Vince Young. That was just to do the play and the game combo. Not that it was the most important opponent ever. Not that everything was on the line, but you did want a big game going into the bye. I think it was really good for them mentally. You did want to play it crisp and clean after the three interceptions against Carolina the week before. I'll just throw that one out there, even though I agree with you on the Rams situation. I do think that Collins punch out was just massive, but I'll go there for that one. All right, next category, Rookie of the Year, Matt Barrows.
Rookie of the Year, that's a tough one. I've had guys in and out of the lineup, but, you know, I'm going to have to go narrowly with Alfred Collins because he is continuing to increase his snaps week in and week out. His role is getting bigger. He isn't making a lot of plays, and that's sort of the issue. And that's where Upton Stout, I think, has the lead on him. You know, Stout had a big play against Arizona that helped them seal the game. You know, I think Collins is proving himself to be a real legitimate building block for this team. And that's what they wanted to get out of a second rounder. And I think that's sort of going to be the interesting question as we move into the off season is, okay, obviously it's going to be Mykal Williams. It's going to be Alfred Collins. You know, CJ West is going to be part of the line moving forward. Just about everybody else is an unrestricted free agent. So who do they bring in? Who do they complement that core with? I mean, is it a veteran in free agency? Do they go back into the draft to find more of a pure pass rusher? But he's definitely one of the 10 poles of that defensive line.
They'll have Nick Bosa signed next year too, by the way.
So yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they got some guys. I think if you had to say who's going to be the best player out of this rookie class, Mykal Williams obviously is going to be very good. I think Alfred Collins might be the best. He stayed on the field too, which always impresses me. It's one of the things, you know, Reggie White was an incredible player, obviously. He just played every single game, every single practice. When I was a young writer, that's like, this is how you do it. Buckner reminded me of that, obviously, in his years with the 49ers. He's gotten hurt a little bit lately as a defensive tackle. It's hard not to when he's been with the Colts. But he was just always on the field, always on the practice, just never a question. I don't know that Collins is going to be that because he got nicked up, obviously, in college. He got nicked up in training camp. But he's been on the field, which is so valuable. You know, he posts, as they say in baseball. My pick, though, for rookie of this year, just for production, just hearing the way the coaches talk about is Upton Stout. Like you mentioned him. He's tough. He's around the ball. Now, he doesn't always make the tackle. The ball sometimes goes over his head because he's not tall. But he's like the way Lynch talks. He's a 49er. He's one of us. And we know what that means, right? It's just he loves football. He's tough. He'll play dinged up a little bit. He wants to show up for the big games. You can just see him having a 7-year career in this league at his size, which is pretty remarkable, and sticking his nose in everything. I just think that's a guy. I don't know if they're going to keep getting this out of him over the next few years. I just think I think Collins is just going to go up and up and up and up. I think Upson Stout is somebody that just this year has been a terrific part of what they do. And I'll just like, let's make sure we credit Robert Saleh. Maybe we'll do in the next category too, but like all these guys are playing well. You know, to their talent level or above. And they didn't last year. That did not happen last year. A little bit more 2 years ago with Steve Wilkes. But, you know, there still were some issues. We heard them grumbling about it. Last year did not happen with Nick Sorensen. And this year they're all like, you get it. Like, guys get hurt. Someone goes in there and they play well. And all the assistants should be credited on that staff. But I think Robert Sala is the vision. Robert Sala is the guy giving everyone confidence. He's the guy Kyle Shanahan trusts. And like when you start talking about, we don't know who's exactly to point out on defense, sometimes that's the coaching is putting everybody in the right spot.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, which does go into best offseason move. I already say Solo. To me, as Kittle has said and various 49er people have said, it's obvious bringing back Robert Sala, being in position to do that was gigantic. We'll see what happens if he gets a head coaching job again. They do have Gus Bradley sitting there. I've been, you know, I think we've both been told it is going to be Gus Bradley, but things could change. You never know. I'll go then if you're not doing that. And I've already mentioned Mac Jones. I'm kind of running out of things there. So I'll turn it to you as I try to think of others. But Solomon Mac Jones is not a terrible twosome.
Well, yeah, I was going to go with Mac Jones because, you know, at one point, that was considered. You know, the Mac Jones acquisition was more along the lines of, Shanahan's getting a second bite at Mac Jones. And what Mac Jones did, and by the way, and everybody seems to forget this, but he was the quarterback when this team was at its thinnest. Mm-hmm. He did not have George Kittle for most of the time. He certainly didn't have Brandon Ayuk. He didn't have DeMarcus Robinson and some other ones. And he won games early in the season, which are now huge. So now we're talking about, you know, possibly trading him for a second day pick. So, I think that just kind of shows his value and how he can be, you know, continue to be valuable for this team in the offseason. I give him a lot of credit. People like him. You look at that, that boombox entrance that they have now, and you see, you know, Trent Williams is out there. He's at the front of the line, and, you know, right next to him is Sky Moore. And you look over and, oh, it's Mac Jones.
And he's the one dancing the most.
And he's out of place because he's sort of goofy, but they love him being there is the point. And so he's got a charisma about him that the 49ers appreciate in that, again, I think would make him a legitimate starter candidate for a team that needs a quarterback in the offseason.
You know what? I'll make my pick an offshoot of that as the 49ers for signing him to a 2-year deal, which is going to allow them to trade him. They didn't do that with Darnold. You don't normally do that with reclamation project quarterbacks just because you kind of, you know, they want to do their one and they want to go. And the 49ers, maybe because they felt like, hey, we didn't get enough value for Darnold because we got him for 1 year. We barely played. And there he goes. They get a comp pick for him. They'll be fine with that. But I think getting Mac Jones to come and getting him to sign a 2-year deal was pretty sharp. Whoever did it, whether it was John Lynch, Parag Marate, all the others in there, even if they don't get a 3rd-round pick, if they get a 5th-round pick, it's still something. And I just think, you know, picks are valuable because you could use them to trade. You could use them to package this for this to get move up. My thing was use the pick for Mac Jones to move up in the 1st round to go get your stud receiver because you're probably going to need one. So all credit for that. Mac Jones, and I'll throw Brant Boyer in there, special teams coach, really seems to have turned the tide here. And we know how bad the special teams have been in recent years, specifically last year. Okay, what's the worst offseason move, Barrows?
Well, I'm going to go to one of your pet peeves, which was their mass exodus in the offseason, including guys that, you know, they weren't superstars, but they were reliable guys. They were 17-game starters, Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins. And Malik Collins just got hurt for the Cleveland Browns, but had played in every game up until then and played in I think two seasons before he joined the 49ers was a 17-game starter. So he's a reliable guy. Oh, by the way, he also has 6.5 sacks. And there's a big Myles Garrett factor in there for sure. But 6.5 would be leading the 49ers by a wide margin at this point. So you said goodbye to guys that would have been perfectly good fits in this defense. Would have been needed at various points. So I think that is something, you know, especially now when, you know, you're sort of worried about the run defense as you go through December and head to the playoffs, where you're going to play some really good running teams. You would have liked to have had a second veteran defensive tackle in the mix along with your young guys.
How can I do anything but agree with that, since I've been barking about that since March? I just didn't understand how you could think through that and think you were going to be okay at depth of defensive line when guys always get hurt and those guys are proven producers at a position where you get run down very quickly. I could try to think of something else, but since it's my thing, I'm going to keep. I know. I'll go the other one, keeping Jake Moody. That wasn't brilliant. That just wasn't. It just was pent up. This pent up thing. I don't like the pent up thing. I praised him in the past for not going with the highly drafted guy when there's provably better people beneath them. We've seen it happen, Trey Lance or whatever. That was a time where they kind of went with that for a while, and they did it for the talent. They did it because they drafted him in the third round, but eventually it just caved in on them, and it could have cost them the Seahawks game. I mean, we're looking at them a little different right now after 8-5 and haven't lost that game, or maybe the season goes worse from there if they lose that game. Clanks a short field goal, could have done another one, just not any confidence in the guy. And look what happened after they released him. I hate to blame it all on Jake Moody. It's their fault for having him in that position a year or two longer than they should have, or picking him in the third round, all those things. But they shouldn't have brought him into camp. And it just was clear, I think, they shouldn't have brought him to camp. All right, Barros, not to leave on a negative note. Come on, Barros, your phone's going crazy here. That's the worst move of the year, is Barros having his phone ringing still.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What would you say is what is going on? It's still ringing.
I got a phone call. Well, popular guy.
Yeah. What would your theme of the year so far be?
Theme of the year? Oh, gosh.
Okay, I mean... You want to go? I'll go first if you want me to.
Yeah, you go first, because I don't really know what you're fishing for here.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of go big picture, which is, we know they reset the finances. We know they kind of reset the roster. This is year one of what Shanahan called a new three-year cycle. I think the theme of the year is maximizing this year, which they did not think was going to be a great year, which kind of spring loads them. You don't look past the season. We know the NFC is open. We know they can win tough games. I don't think you're still going to go with them as a Super Bowl favorite going into the playoffs. We'll see. It's just like you maximize this. You've kept this culture going. If anything, you might have improved it, certainly from last year when they were disappointed with the culture just because they seemed to collapse a few times. And then you really now you have some money available that you didn't think you would with the same Ayuk thing. You have this toughness that's been built up. You have a bunch of young defensive players who got snaps. Now, you know, McCaffrey's going to be 1 year older. Juszczyk's going to be 1 year older. Trent Williams is 1 year older, all this. But I think this really does set up for them to be peaking next season. So that's a good place to be, where year one of this reset, which could have been really bumpy, is turning out really well as a stage for 2026. And you and I have talked about it. Win in 26. They're not going to say it. Some of this was built towards that. It's a success if it was even implied that this is what they're doing.
Yeah, but therein lies a critique too, which is that they didn't think that they were going to be really good this year. Nope. So they got rid of Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins, and they didn't do much at the trade deadline. And now all of a sudden you're kind of right at the top of the division. You have a shot at being the number one seed, not a great shot, but it's there. But you have these pretty dramatic flaws that didn't necessarily have to be there with this team. So I don't know. To me, it's, you know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Last year, they were all in to go back to the Super Bowl, and it just didn't happen. This year, they're certainly not all in. They're much more cautious with their piles of chips. But they do have something, and they showed that. They've been showing it, you know, consistently from jump, right? From that week one game in Seattle. They have a certain spine to them that, you know, that's special. And Shanahan has recognized this. So I don't know. We'll see next year. Maybe it all works out. I do know that next year the Super Bowl is not going to be in Levi's Stadium. No,
that's for sure. That is another good point.
That is something we know about the future. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a sense of regret at the end of the season that, you know what, we probably could have done a little bit more.
They didn't know, and maybe they should have known, that the kind of top NFC teams, the top AFC teams too, were going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, the Chiefs stayed.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, maybe you should have always kind of looked for that. I've criticized. You see, you're getting me here. These are things I've already criticized them for.
Yeah, you can't compliment them and criticize them for the same thing.
The big picture, yes, you're correct. I'm saying if you're going to do this, it worked out for them. At least to this point. And I do get, if you don't have Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, you're not going to feel like you're going to win a Super Bowl. Maybe they still could have. At that point, I did agree with just the way the shifting assessment of how things are going. But yeah, in the big picture, should they have kept all these defensive linemen and not cut all these guys? Yes, I would agree with you there. They could have signed Joey Bosa, right? They could have signed Davante Adams. Maybe if they knew they were going to be offloading the Ayuk money, they could have paid Davante Adams, but they did not know that at the time, so I will not dock them for that. But all these different scenarios and bets that they've made, I'll just say 9-4 with a team that's more together now than it was last year, and it wasn't terrible last year, it just didn't play well, is a thematic part of what I think we'll be talking about next offseason.
Yeah, they have a vision for the future.
And it could have not turned out right, right? It could have easily not turned out right. Winning L.A. with Mac Jones, you know, scratch out this Cleveland game, win a couple other games with Mac Jones. Like, that's how this happened. And, you know, it those were games that they lost last year, just the way it was. And you could explain it whatever way you want to. And that's when they had Fred Warner. That's when they had Nick Bosa. So worth discussing. Things are still going on. The season is still got games to play, things to discuss. We'll discuss it on this show. I'm sure we'll have another thematic episode after the season, but I just kind of want to get this all this stuff down since it's good break. And the season gets so rushed and, you know, urgent, and things are happening during the playoffs. Like, we really don't get to talk about MVP and stuff like that. It just happens so fast. So I thought this, with the late bye, I thought that was a good time to kind of get into some of these things that might change. But freaking, it's a lot of games to talk about already. We've already had a lot of games. So I think it's plenty of time to discuss. So Barros, there we go. We tried it. I think it worked out.
I think we crushed it. I'm pretty sure we crushed it. Hey, I would give us an award. MVP, you know, right there.
Barros, second. To paraphrase Don Draper, that's what the money's for. So, and it is nice to be getting paid for this. I'll put it that way. All right, Barros, well, that is our show for today. We will be back next week during the week, and then obviously after the next game, and on into however long this season lasts. All right, everybody, that's the show for today.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.